Now, the third period in the production of this literature is the period of condensation. You can well imagine that with all these sutras in existence, 100,000 lines long and 25,000 lines long, the whole literature, the whole teaching becomes so voluminous and so vast that it wasn't possible even for monks, even the full-timers, to study it all. So therefore, in this third period, a number of very short sutras, Perfection of Wisdom sutras, were produced. And these short sutras present the Perfection of Wisdom teaching in a highly condensed and a highly concentrated form. Indians, of course, usually go to extremes. Having expanded the Perfection of Wisdom to 100,000 lines, what do they do in this period? They contract it into one letter. This is the shortest of all the Perfection of Wisdom sutras. The Perfection of Wisdom delivered in one letter. It's all there in that one letter. Now you may be wondering, what is this one letter? Well, it's a letter you've been acquainted with all your lives. In fact, the first letter that you ever learned is simply the letter A. The letter A. And in this particular sutra, which is called the Sutra of the Perfection of Wisdom in One Letter, the Buddha says that you've got it all here in this one letter A. The whole of the Perfection of Wisdom. Now, how is that? Well, it's very simple, really. In the Sanskrit language, A is a negative prefix. A negative prefix. In other words, it means no or not. So if you've got a word in Sanskrit and you want to negate that word, you put an A in front of it. If you've got, for instance, mind, manas, you want to say no mind, not mind, you say amanas. Or if you want to say consciousness, vijnana, no consciousness, avijnana. So A means not, not this, not that. So in other words, the fact that the whole of the Perfection of Wisdom is concentrated in this one letter A means that shunyata, the voidness or ultimate reality, is to be experienced, is to be known only by the negation of all concepts, by putting A, as it were, not this, in front of everything that you can think and everything that you can say. Even the Buddhistic concepts, even Buddhistic thoughts, even Buddhistic philosophy. So the A here, the not, is rather like, we may say, the nati, nati, not this, of the Upanishadic tradition, where every thought, every concept, every idea about reality is negated, is transcended, is left behind. And we find the same sort of thing in the West, up to a certain point, in what is known as the via negativa, the negative way of Western mysticism, when one says not this, not that, when one leaves everything far behind or tries to. The difficulty, of course, with Western mysticism is that the mystics usually get stuck when they come to God and they can't get rid of that. Buddhists, of course, ultimately are told that they have to get rid even of the concept Buddha, even of the concept enlightenment. But in the West, owing to the greater strength of theology, there are certain concepts which even the mystics find very difficult to get over, very difficult to transcend. Now, we're not really concerned with the Perfection of Wisdom in one letter. Now, this morning I mention it just as an example of the way in which Indian thought can rather go to extremes. The two best known of these shorter texts are the Diamond Sutra, the Vajracchedika, and the Heart Sutra itself. And both of these are very highly popular indeed in Tibetan Buddhism and in Zen. In fact, they're very, very popular throughout the entire Mahayana Buddhist world. Well, at least we can understand now why the Heart Sutra is so called. It represents, it constitutes the heart or the essence of the Prajnaparamita or Perfection of Wisdom teaching, and it gives us in a concentrated, a highly condensed and concentrated form, the essential meaning of all the Perfection of Wisdom sutras. No wonder, therefore, that throughout the East, especially in the Mahayana Buddhist countries, it is recited and chanted so often. If we know this, if we really know the Heart Sutra, in a sense, we know everything.